Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. This week, we begin a new sermon series looking at what it means for us to find our calling and our purpose.
Our scripture for reflection this morning comes from Genesis 1, a creation account, a place where we turn to hear what it was in the beginning when God created the heavens and earth. Hear these verses 28 through 31. God blessed them, Adam and Eve, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we gather this day hopeful that we will find you in scripture and in spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts reveal you more fully in our sight this day, O God. Amen. I'm not sure about your experience of elementary school, but for me, one of those rites of passage within that elementary school sweet spot of time was career day. In fact, it wasn't so much a rite of passage, because we actually did it every single year, that it really just became part of the regularly scheduled programming and a really awesome excuse to get to dress up. I mean, for me personally, it was pretty great. This idea that from kindergarten to fifth grade, for one day of the year, our entire school would be transformed into a cooperative of dozens of ballet dancers, several teams worth of football players, enough doctors to fill several private practices, and enough firefighters to outfit the entire Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. I was reflecting with some friends about how fun career day used to be. How great it was to see how differently each of us as children approached those career day aspirations. How some students would arrive year after year with the same professional goals year in and year out, wearing the same borrowed tie and suit jacket to signal that they would indeed one day be a lawyer. While other kids had a different ambition and corresponding outfit every year, that would be me. Who's to say what personal soul-searching precipitated the career change from astronaut to yoga teacher? Who cares? Yoga pants are way more comfortable than a spacesuit. And as my friends and I were talking about our love for career day, we had one friend who shared something that actually surprised us at first, but as the revelation sunk in, we could kind of see it. This friend confessed, "I faked sick every single career day." He elaborated further to explain that he actually wasn't faking sick, because the idea of career day, of having to assess what it was he would be so far in the future, not totally sure of his gifts, passions, interests, aptitude, produced a stomach ache so intense that there was no way his mom was going to send him to school where he could not comfortably projectile vomit all day long. Why would career day make you so anxious? We asked incredulously. It's just this fun thing. You don't have to be serious about it. In case you haven't noticed, I am neither an astronaut nor a yoga teacher. But that's not exactly how this idea of career and vocation and purpose works for some. As my friend explained, he said, "I was never a kid who had an answer when someone asked me what I want to be when I grow up. In fact, he said, if I'm being honest, I am an adult who does not have an answer when someone asks me what I want to be. Who knew that career day might actually produce existential anxiety? And yet, as we began our new sermon series on purpose, I'm deeply familiar with both the energy and excitement as well as the anxiety and agony that can accompany our search for purpose. And not only purpose as it pertains to a career or the way that we might make a living, the way that we pay our bills, but purpose in the sense of who and what we are called to be and called into. This idea of purpose and the ways that it can empower us or perhaps entrench us takes its root somewhere deeper and beyond elementary school career days. I perhaps think that it might take root in a garden that grows between the Euphrates and the Tigris in a place called Eden. So often when we hear this account from Scripture of the beginning of the world as God put it into motion, we focus on reading a story about how the world came into being, which is a fair and good place to focus. But we're also reading a story about why the world came into being. And what's more, in those verses we hear today, specifically, a focus on why we humans come into being. And as is often the case, the how feels like it requires a little bit less from us than the why. What is the purpose for humans that this story reveals? What is our own role in defining that purpose of meeting God in this partnership that God has called us into? These are questions that have fascinated theologians, writers, dreamers, and worriers for centuries. Friedrich Schleiermacher, whose name is very fun to say and whose work is much less fun to read, paints an image of Adam and Eve. I do not know who just said amen, but that was so great. Our seminary student, of course. Schleiermacher, when thinking of the world of Adam and Eve, provides one of the most generous theological readings we see for them. Schleiermacher imagines Adam and Eve with childlike wonder and admittedly childlike ignorance in their days and time spent in the garden, discovering and exploring the world for the first time, making the mistakes and messes that one would expect, but also marveling at the beauty of all that exists around them, with that kind of one foot in front of the other in a way that you are tumbling forward with so much momentum that you're not quite sure what to do with yourself until you come to a screeching, grinding halt. The kind of halt that lets you know that all of those other things were good and part of what you were called into. But this place where you have perhaps crashed and burned and skinned a knee is a moment to consider how this is not in step with your calling and purpose. Taking a different approach, Kurt Vonnegut, in his novel Cat's Cradle, muses that humanity finds their purpose less through divine guidance and more for our own need to do something. As Vonnegut imagines a conversation between God and Adam as Adam has first opened his eyes, Adam blinks and looks at God and says, "What's the purpose of all this?" gesturing to the world around, to which God asks Adam, "Everything must have a purpose?" To which Adam replies, "Certainly." To which God, I'm not sure if with admiration or exasperation, says, "Then I'll leave you to it to think of one for all of this." In his diary of Adam and Eve, Mark Twain paints a picture of those early weeks in the garden as Adam and Eve found their way into partnership with God. It's a partnership that Eve settles into quickly, but Adam seems to find himself having some trouble. He laments that while Eve is running around naming things and developing grammar rules, he's really just consumed with how annoying he thinks Eve is. "I get no choice to name anything myself," he says. "That new creature, Eve, names everything that comes along before I can even get in a protest, and always with the same pretext. Well, it looks like that thing." It's funny to imagine, with our human imaginations, this divine imagination at work. But there are also questions that emerge for us about those first days and weeks of human searching for purpose in the world. Do you think that Adam and Eve were wise enough yet to lay the land, to get the lay of the land and the ways of the world in those first 24 hours of existence to actually comprehend what God was asking of them? Were they aware just how many fish were in the sea and how many birds were in the sky that they would now be assuming responsibility for? Did they ask for a quick report on the properties and benefits of each of those plants that yield seed and those trees that bear fruit? I mean, we know they got a report on a couple of trees in the garden, and we know how well they intook that information, but still, did they know the possibility of fruitfulness that really existed there? Do you think that as the words washed over them, God giving them this divine opportunity and mandate, letting them know that they have dominion over the earth, do you think they realized what that meant? That they would be the ones responsible for cultivating the land, caring for the creatures, collaborating with every creeping thing to not only survive, but to thrive? Somehow, the same world, though it may feel like a different world entirely sometimes, is offered to us by God who has not gone away. But God who has watched as we have imbued every creeping thing for better and for worse with a sense of purpose, trying to live into our own childlike ambitions while also maturing our sense of self and the world, creating grammar rules, naming new things, and trying to figure out what we have been called into in this dynamic, lush, and verdant place. And at the same time, our invitation to discover our calling from God feels so different from Adam and Eve's. Because while we still see signs of the dynamic and lush and verdant world God created, we also live with eyes wide open to the ways of stagnancy and rot and destruction that have been allowed to impact every creeping thing, including us. And so we vacillate, moving back and forth between wanting to discover the passion and purpose we have for how we will contribute to God's world, while also feeling overwhelmed by how difficult, competitive, and unfulfilling the pursuit of passion and purpose can sometimes feel. And so we struggle. We struggle to know where we might begin. Where might we begin from our place, our position within creation, in this moment and in this time, to find where God has called us, why God has called us, who God has called us? Where do we begin? Theologian Friedrich Buechner has an idea. He explains that there are all kinds of voices calling you to all kinds of things. And the problem is to find out which one is the voice of God, rather than, say, the voice of society, or our own ego, or our own self-interest. And by and large, a good rule for finding which voice is the voice of God is that usually the kind of thing that God calls you into is A, that you need most to do, and B, that most needs to be done. And if you really get a kick out of your work, you've presumably met requirement 8, but if your work is writing TV deodorant commercials, the chances are you've missed requirement B of meeting great need. There are some people I have smelled that Frederick Buchner has probably not smelled. I think that writing TV deodorant commercials meets a great need. But you get the idea of what he is saying. On the other hand, though, it might be that your work is desperately meeting a need in the world. Perhaps you're a doctor in a leper colony. But most of the time, you find yourself upset because the work is so difficult that you do. You probably aren't doing much to contribute to that idea of what you need in the doing. Neither the hair short nor the soft birth will do, Buchner says. The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. The place that God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Where do you find your deep gladness? And where have you noticed deep hunger in the world? If you're able to discover even a semblance of an answer to these questions, you might be able to begin to plot the through lines that verge in the place where you find your purpose, the place where you find your spot in the garden, the place where a seed has been planted by God in you, a seed that is ready to be tended, a seed that is ready to be cared for, a seed that is ready to sprout and to bloom and to blossom and to become a contribution to the beauty and possibility that God invites each and every one of us into as co-creators, as called, beloved people of God. Will you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we know that you call us, though we are not always sure what you call us into. Give us courage, O God, to still listen, to still seek, assured that you will help us find in the journey and adventure that comes from pursuing our purpose in you. Amen.